Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you can pay?
And his partner, Feta Tapender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence and I am joined as ever with the wonderful, the machine from Stephen Sheen.
You sent it, Rob. You all right?
It's Grado himself, the father-to-be, the radio star, the star of Scott Squad, the star of Two Doors Down, the star of, lest we forget, Test Drive.
Yep, Test
Drive. But we're a new tracksuit every week.
Grado,
do you have your trackies for test gear in the house now?
No, I think you've asked me this.
Would you wear one of them next week for us?
Honestly, I had to give them back.
Oh, that's right, you give them all back, didn't
you? I had to give them back, but there was a woman at the Q8 garage was serious. She wanted to buy a few off me. I says, I've not got them. I had to hand them back, so.
Fucking BBC. Well, welcome everybody to the show. Like I said, my name's Rab Florence. This is a wrestling podcast, and we are going to be talking about wrestling, aren't we, Grado?
Aye, but what are you doing?
I've been filming. I was filming a new BBC sitcom series called The Scots, which is about a Scottish family and their ups and downs, their turmoil, and their tribulations and their disasters and their joys.
Can I ask you a question about it?
Yes,
right?
Brother. Yes,
you
brother.
You know how sometimes, brother, that the pilot airs and then the network might turn around and go, gonna kind of change that character, are you gonna do that? Is there any changes that you're allowed to tell us for the pilot?
No, there wasn't really any changes, to be honest. They kind of let us just go with it, and we made some changes ourselves, but just you know, I think it was going to be better than the pilot. It's going to be better than the pilot, so check it out when it comes out. Of course, Wrestling Connection there is Jack Jester, the wrestler. ICW, who had some incredible matches with former WWE champion Drew McIntyre. Yeah. Fantastic wrestler. He is part of the cast, prominent part of the cast, important part of the cast.
He's buzzing for it, isn't he?
So you need to be watching that. He does one-arm push-ups in the show. We're looking forward to it.
Let's see. Is that why Grado didn't get the gig, Rab?
No, I mean, look, Grado is... We couldn't afford Grado. Let's just be clear here. Let's go back to see what the punters are saying. Let's see what the punters are filling us in with this week. Have you got any news, Grado, before we move on?
Hey, hold on.
After your big news last week.
No, but you know what? I've been watching all wrestling on all YouTube. I don't want to take up too much time, right? But I swear to God, right? Do you know what I tend to a wee notion of watching? Backstage things. And unaired things, right? So I found this WCW channel. Now I straight away messaged Ian Andrew Dice Clay to see if he'd seen this. Of course he had seen it, he's been in Tap It. But do you know, I sat for about 4 hours watching. There's obviously a guy that worked for WCW in the 90s, right? And he records the hour before the show starts. So you're basically watching nothing for the first 40 minutes, and then the dark match comes out. Dave Penza comes out and goes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the WCW, we want to make sure that everyone's safe, no lizard pens. And I swear, I watched a good 4 or 5 of them, which it just intrigues me. I love all that. And it made
that's
me,
the good stuff in it. That's the good stuff, seeing that stuff.
It made me buzz to get back on shows. Let's see, just that whole what I mean. I don't know if I don't think there's any better feeling as a wrestling fan when you walk into an arena and you see the ring and the lights are off. It's that kind of magical, oh my God, this is
the
cool.
The anticipation.
And then how it starts. And there was another thing that I watched, right? because I started watching, there's a YouTube account that's, there's a YouTube account called Handheld Cams, right, and it's all the house show stuff.
Yep.
And I watched this cracking match that you need to watch, that's so, it's like a kind of, it's a camp match, it's a camp. So what happens is, it's for Fort Lauderdale in May 2002, it's one of the last WWF shows, mm-hmm. right, and it's Hogan and Rock on a house show versus Kurt Angle and Chris Jericho, and it's amazing. It's a guy that's in the crowd, and just the noise, you hear the entrance music, the boogie, you know, the stuff that you don't see in telly, you know, like Jericho going out, boo, and Hogan posing. And it's a simple match. It's just middle. It's just such a, just a kind of normal match, a couple of hot tags. The crowd are amazing, and it's just a basic match, but because of who's in it, it's fucking tremendous. Go out your way to watch this match, man. I've watched it twice since Sunday night.
Beautiful. I'll watch it. I love that kind of stuff.
It's brilliant.
I love that kind of stuff. Let's see what the punters are saying. Ian, go in touch. No way, Ian Connell, who I work with, just another guy called Ian. He says, your stories about boxing Glasgow the other week reminded me of the newspaper headline, Burniston Rab flushed with excess. After he spent the night sleeping in the toilets there, he then proceeded to chronicle the whole story on Twitter. And that's right. That was the time I got absolutely pushed in box.
Yep.
And right, let me tell you the story, right? Because the more time has passed, the more I think about this, and I've thought to myself, people are going to think I was like on drugs or something, right? That's what I would assume. See, if I was reading that somebody had crashed out in the toilets somewhere, that's what I'd assume. But actually, I was just absolutely steaming drunk, right? And I was in... And I was sitting on the toilet pan with the seat down, texting people, right? So I was texting Jen and all that, and I was texting people. And then the next thing I knew, I was just fucking, the lights were out. Like, genuinely, I was, like, sending texts, and I was, like, leaning back and kind of laughing and sending texts to people and bamming people up and all that. And then it was pitch black.
Were you chronicling this on Twitter at the time?
No, because I woke up and I was like, oh my God. And I went and I walked and I opened up the door of the toilets and I looked out and it was just a dark, empty pub.
What time was this?
And what time would this have been? It must have been at this point about maybe 6 in the morning or something. Like, so, and I went like that, right, I'm going to have to, I'll go. And I went out into the pub. And first of all, I went, I know I'm fear to walk out of this toilet in case there's an alarm on, right? There's an alarm sensor that fucking goes off. So first of all, I had to kind of slowly kind of edge out, and I was looking for any wee blinking red lights to see if, and then I was doing the hello, while I was in fucking Scooby-Doo, right? And then I went to the front door, and I went and I tried the front door, and I was like, oh fuck, it's locked.
That's just giving me the fear.
I'm locked in here, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, what the fuck am I going to do? What do you do? There's no... You know what I mean? You've had no prep for what you do in a situation like this. It's no like people go to you, right, see if you ever get fucking forced sleep and get locked in a pub, right? This is where you phone this number, and then there's no protocol. So I was like, what am I going to do here? And I thought, the only thing I can do here is fucking style out, make a joke here. Style out and make, we'll get the fucking punters involved. That's what I thought. That was my first reaction. Let's get the fucking punters involved. You know what I mean? That's showbiz. I was like, I'm going to start working it. Start working it, man. That's wrestling, baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was like, let's start working the gimmick here. But in truth, I was kind of like, this is a fucking nightmare, right? And then, so I went back into the toilet and I was like, oh, and then I was like, started tweeting it as if it just happened, right? So that was a bit of a work. I was like, I've just woken up. I'd actually woken up like 20 minutes before, right? I've just woken up. No, as well, and that was running about the point where suddenly I heard the door open outside and I started to hear a bit of noise, right? And I was like, oh, somebody's here. But then I started listening at the toilet door and I heard there was a woman, right, outside. Oh, no. Hi, lad, she's walking about. And I was like, oh, this is bad again. Because if I suddenly fucking come out, well, she's in. Mm-hmm. And I just fucking appear at the door, she's going to absolutely shit herself, right? And then so I goes like that, and I kind of open the door a wee bit to look out to see if she's there. And I was like, I hope she doesn't turn around and look, and there's a fucking guy. Look, no, right. I hope she doesn't turn and look. I couldn't fucking believe my eyes what I saw. There was a fucking wee boy about 10 years old. It's a wee boy about 10 years old cutting about, right? So this woman, whether she worked in the place or whatever, she was here to kind of clean up, and she brought her wee boy, right? To kind of cut about with her. And I'm fucking there, taking me to the toilet. And this wee fucking boy's looking at me.
No, I'm like,
hiya, ma. Hiya. Like, I'm the, you know what I mean? You've heard a Santa and a tooth fairy. I'm the toilet guy. I'm the guy for the toilet. So I come out and I say, listen, I've been crashed out in
what
the
does
toilet.
What does a wee boy do you go hiya?
The boy was just like, mammy. And kind of the woman came and the woman was so nice. The woman was really nice. You know what I mean? I was like, can I get a photo with you? Because people are following us on Twitter and all that. So we did the photo and all that. And I left and I was like, I was absolutely fucking mortified, right? And it was like, and in my defense, right, my mad just died like a week before. So really? I was like, I was out and I was getting wrecked. Aye. And I was just in a state. And you know yourself, Grado, you're knowing you're knowing your right fucking mind.
Absolutely. Right?
So I was like just knowing my right mind. And I was walking up the street and I couldn't believe this, right? So this was like 20 minutes after I left the pub. I'm walking home and like the absolute fucking unbelievable walk of shame, right? Walking home for this. People messaging me, you all right? You all right? No, what's going on? Are you all right? And the phone rings.
Son.
It's the fucking BBC. Right? It's BBC Scotland. They're like, we just wondered if you'd like to come on the radio this morning to talk about you making an absolute arse of yourself on the fuck. I was like, no, I don't think I'll come on and... I'll come on and talk about this. It was like unbelievable. But anyway, there you were. That was it.
Hey, that's boy. I love that. That is brilliant. The best. Hiya.
That was a story.
It's a new story that.
New whenever I work with anybody, you know what I mean? It's like new. It's like I'm like work with some new people, and I go, "Who is this guy? What has he done? Not oh, he's did. He wrote that. He wrote that. He crashed out in these toilets, fell asleep. You know what I mean? It's no good, is it?
Oh, anyway, fucking brilliant.
So, Paul would like to add to the wrestling songs that contain the words "on your knees." We were talking about this last week, Grado. Remember? Uh-huh. Your riddle, Grado's amazing riddle. But apparently, Jack Swagger, his theme was actually called "On Your Knees."
Forgettable tune. I didn't like that. Down, 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 down. Was that the kind of Rage Against the Machine type song, John?
I can't even remember at all.
Was it?
It was.
Right. Okay. So it's free.
John's eating his dinner there.
Sorry.
After hearing the episode with MP Mark Fletcher, we go on where we discuss the future of wrestling, right? Robert Rams, right?
Robert
Rams got in touch and said, hey, Grado, he's only talking to you, isn't he talking to me? Just listening to the Wrestling Daft podcast, you will have to be my guest in the Commons to meet the, what is this? To meet who when things get back to
the all-party parliamentary group in wrestling.
This is the all-party parliamentary group wrestling when things get back to normal. Grado, will you accept the offer? Grado, will you accept the challenge to be the guest in the Commons to meet the all-party parliamentary group? For sandwiches.
Well, if I'm doing that neck in the woods, but I don't know what I kind of... Is this a booking offer?
No, after taking baby names for Grado last week, Gaz reached out with a picture of Doug and says, just listen to the podcast, guys. My boy is 8 and he's called Austin. That's not a Wayne, though. It's not a Wayne, though. It's a Doug. So,
but
right, I'm going to just, no. What are you going to say, Grado?
I just wanted to say thanks for Ned Grassies this week. I was a bit paranoid that at the weekend, Stephanie's going, you've been talking about we're going to come with Wayne on your fucking podcast. Thankfully, it stayed... within these four walls, I appreciate then I get out to
stayed
so
in a locker room.
Up.
Stayed in a locker room, didn't
aye.
I? No, I just want to say something that there are serious people that talk like their Doug is their Wayne. It's a fucking Doug. So don't, I don't want any of this on this show. Where it's like, well, this is my boy, this is my Wayne. No, it's a Doug.
Aye. Yeah, I mean, you know, there was the boy in my way that called his Doug Grado and he got rid of it after like fucking 3 months. So I don't even know if it's still called Grado.
Yeah,
I was like, I literally was like 3 months. He was at the show and he went, I've just got a new dog called Grado. And then that, and then I think about 3 or 4 months later, I wanted like maybe like a picture of it and I tried to track it down. He's like, nah, we sold it. It's sad. I shouldn't laugh at that, but there you go.
Yeah, Jim Cornette would be like, that's good. He stopped being a dog now. He's Darth Sinobi asks off the back of the Jeff Jarrett interview, does Rab really have beef with him? Does he have beef with Jeff Jarrett? If so, what's the crack? Yeah, I was only joking. I don't actually have beef with him. I'm actually a big fan of Jeff Jarrett. I just wasn't available for an interview. Karate Warrior 2 says, hey, Rab and Grado, what's the most embarrassing wrestling-related thing people have done out there? I remember ripping the cable out of the 56.6 kilobytes modem connected to the computer because I was pissed at my older brother and shouting, I've got the stroke, like a crazed JJ. And Bob, your uncle, responded with, when he was a wee guy in the playground, he accidentally threw his new Steve Austin figure onto the school roof and it got stuck in the gutter. He couldn't hold back his tears.
I've told the story plenty of times, but probably wearing my grand's tights and blading myself with a glass ginger bottle and then getting caught off my Uncle Jimmy.
Mine would probably be wrestling around my sister's back and Dana moving landing on my back on the top of an old dishwasher that had been put out the back, like a flat back right on the dishwasher, which is the kind of move they would do in AEW now.
Oh, mate, can I just say, have you seen that? Did I put it in the chat this morning?
I have. We're going to be putting it in the... We'll be talking about it in the Berry bit, I'm sure.
Okay.
Stevie adds, I remember going to the ICW show at the Hydro in 2017. It was the first wrestling show I'd attended for donkeys, and I was wearing a Bullet Club T-shirt. You know what I mean? I was waiting in a queue to grab a beer. Another guy who was also wearing a Bullet Club T-shirt was passing me by, right, carrying three pints. I put up a wolf sign. I said, too sweet, mate. The guy quite rightly looked at me and said, fuck's sake, mate, really? The whole queue looked at me as if I let off a massive fart. What a diddy I was.
Now, have I told that story before where I met somebody random in the town wearing a Bullet Club T-shirt and I was away my girlfriend at the time and I went, oh, watch this. Watch this. Oh, Bullet Club. Ken, he's got, oh, that's great. He's got, hey, fucker just looked at me as if I two heats, you know that way? I'm like, I started thinking these T-shirts now being purchased by folk because...
Non-wrestling fans.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Very embarrassing. That was another embarrassing moment. Watch this.
He's here.
Watch this. You're big in. Too sweet.
You'll be excited with this. Bronze Cello says, I can't believe that this didn't make Dark Side of the Ring with Brian Pillman.
We're doing a Clash of the Champions for TBS one time, and I'm sitting at ringside going over my notes. He's got to talk to me. It's crucially important. And so I said, okay. So I put my paper up and let's talk. Not here. We got to go in private. Okay. You know, I had no idea what the deal was. What calamity he was in. He had his share of issues with the ladies. He had lots of lady friends. He was quite the ladies' man. So who knew? You know, who knew what Brian's issue was? So I got to talk to him private. So we go to the shower area, and he shows me, he says, okay, you ready? I said, yeah, what is it? What's the problem? I got to show you something. So he swings the door to the commode stall open, and in that commode was the longest uninterrupted piece of human waste known to man. If it wasn't 18 inches long, I'm not wearing a black hat. He had gone to the bathroom and taken meticulous effort to have a bowel movement uninterrupted because he knew something special was happening. He got one of the referees, one of the ring crew guys, to stand guard at the stall most of the afternoon so when the guys would come in, he could go get them and bring him and show him his masterpiece.
I get used to, man. JR's a good storyteller, isn't he, man? That was fucking brilliant. Did you watch the Pillman Dark Side of the Ring?
No, I've still not watched any Dark any Side of the Ring. Wow. But I need to, because I listened to Jericho's podcast and he had the boys Faye Dark Side of the Ring on it and they were talking about it, you know what I mean? And the guys clearly, they have a lot of respect for wrestling and the wrestlers. That was my concern. I was kind of, I'm not watching some trash. I think it's going to be shitting on. But I need to check it out, definitely. And you there, if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com.
Or can I add something I wanted to?
Absolutely, mate.
I just, right, so last week I had my riddle. Remember that?
Is this going to be a regular feature, Grado?
Well, I've got something else I want to ask the Wrestling Daft Universe.
We should call this the Matt Riddle. That's what we should call this segment, Riddle. Right?
So, Shamer was Adam Shame, big friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously does his takeaway deliveries at night. and he delivered a takeaway to a Mr. Jay Dugan in Renfrew. Jay Dugan, D-O-U, and it's not exactly, it's not spelled the same as Dugan, but it still was enough to tickle me. We then get chatting about how there must be people in Scotland with wrestlers' names. There's got to be Scott Hall out there. I went straight on Facebook, and if MD knows the guy, Michael Foley, who lives in Falkirk from Perth and Perth and Kinross, and he's single, I'd like to get him on the show. I want to get somebody who has the name of a wrestler as their own name. I want them to come on the show and just we'll speak to them, see what it's like living as Paul White. You know what I mean? Is there a Brian Pillman in the UK, Scotland, whatever? So that's your riddle for this week. Get in touch if you know MD Wrestling Daft at Gmail. Is it Wrestling Daft or something?
Wrestling Daft at gmail.com. And that is your Matt Riddle for this week.
Hey, it's John. And before we get into your buddies and putovers for this week, I need to tell you about ExpressVPN. It's the best way to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. We've talked about it loads on Wrestling Daft. Basically, you can access Netflix from around the world. You can also access Peacock, so you can get all those new cool WWE documentaries that are on the network over there, as well as probably get a cheaper subscription on your WWE network as well. So use ExpressVPN to unblock content in other countries. It's going to let you change your online location so you control where you want sites to think you're located. You simply open up the app, select a location, tap one button to connect, and refresh the page to access thousands of new shows and movies. Choose from 100 different countries. Alex on the marks. He loves using Netflix Japan to get all the anime stuff and that, so you could do that. And there's loads of options. Just have a great time just trawling Netflix endlessly for hours and hours in different countries, and you'll find something you like. Obviously, if you're abroad and listen to the podcast in Australia or America, you can use ExpressVPN to access BBC iPlayer so you can watch Line of Duty, which I highly recommend you do. You can also use it for Hulu as well. So why should you choose ExpressVPN over other VPNs? That is the question you're asking yourself right now, isn't it? You can stream in HD no problem with the ExpressVPN. There's no buffering or lag on it. It's going to be compatible with all the devices you've got there, your smartphones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs, loads of stuff you can use ExpressVPN on. And not only is it going to let you change your location, it's also going to encrypt your data and let you surf the web safely and anonymously as well. Easy for me to say. So we've got a special offer at Wrestling Daft. I've told you about it before, but just in case you don't know, head to expressvpn.com/wrestling. ExpressVPN.com/wrestling. As Rab says, no backslashes. You can spell that out as well. ExpressVPN.com/wrestling. You're going to get an extra 3 months if you sign up for a year using our code. So get involved. ExpressVPN.com/wrestling. 3 months if you get a year. Woo!
Now, every week we like
can
to.
Can I get a push, Rab?
Yes. Well, you right, Grado's. While Grado goes and does a push, I want to tell you that every week we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling. We separate the podcast host who stays in his chair and does the show from the podcast host who goes away and does a push during an intro. And we're going to, you know, we like to bury some stuff for not being good, and we like to put over stuff that we enjoyed. And I want to put over Randy Orton's wee team up with Matt Riddle, which I'm very much enjoying at the minute, because I think Randy Orton, you know, I'm a big Randy Orton fan, and I think Randy Orton is just good at taking something and running with it and making the best of it. I mean, he managed to survive The Fiend, so it's been a pleasure to watch that. And what I want to bury this week, while we wait for Grado to come back for a pee, is what I briefly saw this morning. And I don't know exactly who were the two women wrestlers involved. It was an AEW, and I only saw it before I was dashing out to work, and Grado had put it up in the chat, and he was like, fucking look at this. And I looked, and a lassie did this ridiculous move to the other lassie up in the top turnbuckle. Now, who was it, John? Who was it?
I don't know who it was. I was trying to work it out. It was on AEW Dark, I think. It was the kind
Let's find out the new, because I was just rushing out the door when I saw it.
Yeah.
And it was just a wee clip. And I was just like, what is going on
there? While we're looking for that, Rab, I'm surprised you've not went to it. And we've not, it's that surprisingly, none of the listeners have buried it. What did you make of the Chris Jericho fall from the cage?
Well, it was rotten. Let's not make any bones about it. It was very poor. Particularly when they built up that match so much, for that to be the conclusion of the match was very poor. However, Chris Jericho is not to blame here. What's to blame? And even the finish of the match itself and how the match was booked, that's not to blame. The problem here is a problem that AEW has, and it's baffling to me because they have the resources to fix this. And as much as I love Tony Khan and I respect him and I consider him a friend, AEW has an issue in its production. AEW's production is inventive. It's inventive and it's creative, its production, but it makes a lot of silly mistakes with some of the fundamentals of how you present wrestling on TV. And it's fine to do that kind of bump from the cage through onto the, you know, onto the mattress, onto the support land, and it's fine to do it, but you need to mask it. You need to shoot it cleverly, and you need to hide it. There was a way they could have shot that where it would have looked fine.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if they probably, I've not actually watched the full show, but I would imagine even for the hard cam, because it was onto the stage, no? Was it onto the entrance?
Even for the hard cam would probably
hard cam, you're fucking getting a boom. You see his face, oh.
You know what I mean?
Mate, they don't need to do it, that's the thing. They really don't need to do it because it just folk can see right through it. And if you're there, if it looks contrived, with AEW's fan base are all over it.
But
they just
don't
need to do it.
It was just a production mistake. It was a production mistake. Even something like, you know, a bit of a longer fall, a deeper, the mattress being lower underneath the what he went through. It was just the kind of mistake that the WWE don't make anymore. You know what I mean? Right. These are the wrinkles that the WWE have ironed out, and this, I guess, is where production experience comes into it. AEW is still a new promotion, still a new kind of production, and production experience this is after the Exploding Ring thing, which was embarrassing. So you've got the Exploding Ring thing, which was truly embarrassing, and then you have that, which was another kind of embarrassing finish to a match that they'd really hyped up to be incredibly violent and, you know, all of that. So, and it was Tay Conti who did this move on AEW Dark. that Grado, you showed us that move this morning, and I was just dashing out the door, and I was like, what the fuck is this move?
There's no need for it. I just don't get why there is nobody there, an agent, to go, right, no, don't be doing that. Because, again, they don't need to do it. Who was that?
Maddie Rinkowski.
When she signed?
Was a wrestler who had the move done to her.
She signed?
I don't know, actually.
It just looks horrible. It looks horrible. And what people are saying are damn right. It's your body isn't meant to bend that way. And it just, it's just, and you know what? I tell you what, I hate saying this, but there's somebody going to wind up with a Syrian. Somebody's going to get a Syrian.
There's just, I would love to sit down with Tony Khan for 5 minutes. you know, and just, we wouldn't talk about wrestling, I don't think. I think we'd just, you know, we'd have a glass of wine and we'd just talk about life.
Business.
I think we'd just talk about life, and I see a lot of similarities with who he is, you know what I mean?
Aye.
I'd say to him, Tony, I feel like I wake up every morning and I feel just happy to be here. Like life is a kind of miracle, and I'm sure you feel the same. The amount of money your dad's got. So, let's see what the punt. Are you in? You want to bury a put over?
I can't think now. I mean, I think about it. Just watching daft videos on YouTube gets me going.
Well, let's see what the punt.
what?
What's that? YouTube videos, chocolate rain and all that. Videos putting on.
Chocolate rain.
Alistair wants to bury Tam Cowan and Cosgrove's reaction to Grado going to a funeral where he met Kendo Nagasaki. And they asked him if the person who had died was actually dead or if it was a work. Normally I like them, but fuck's sake.
Right. We're going to have to cut that.
Why?
Because I made that up.
That's all right. Don't cut
I was
that,
so
man.
Nervous.
That's beautiful. Don't listen. Don't cut that, Grego, because realize what you've done. What you've done is you've actually worked Alistair. It's beautiful. Alistair's got in touch going, how dare they say is this real or was that a work? Turned out everybody get worked. What? The master did the Grado worked everybody. It's beautiful. You can't bury that, Alistair. Actually need to put our Grado for working everybody. Because, I mean, they say kayfabes deed, do you know what I mean?
Right, cool.
I respect you for that.
Before you move on, I've got a question. How did you come up with the story that you on Kendo Nagasaki?
Was it because you thought that Kendo Nagasaki was maybe the only wrestler that they two will have ever heard of?
Somebody bammed me up years ago and said they were at a British wrestler's funeral and they said that Kendo Nagasaki turned up in a Bentley. And I went, you're joking, did he? And they went, no. They bammed me up. And then, you know that way I'm walking in and they went like that, talking about Kendo Nagasaki. I went, I met him at a funeral, turned up in a Bentley. Is that bad?
Listen, I saw Kendo Nagasaki having like a looked like a kind of all day breakfast thing in a co-op food. But I'm not lying. This is
did you actually?
It was the morning of Universal Uproar or something like that.
I feel like this guy, right, I remember just quick, but I went to a health and safety conference in Aberdeen once, right, with these two youth workers. Mm-hmm. One of the youth workers was ex-army, right, and he started telling us a story about how he was in the army, right? He started telling us a story about how he was in the army, and the other guy that was there, he was a kind of gimp, right? And he's telling the two of you, the gimp and me, he's like, I fucking can't remember where it was. It wasn't Vietnam, but it was something like that. And he was going, and this happened, and there was blood everywhere and all this, right? And then I was only young, but see when we got to the conference thing, I was paired off with a gimp, right?
Right.
And something came up, and then that guy started going, the gimp started going, I will see when I was in the army back in the day in Vietnam, and he started telling the story that he said, and I'll never ever forget it, and I feel like that guy now. Oh my God.
Careful.
Nagasaki, I feel no.
No. Brett says he wants to bury Eva Marie coming back to WWE. They get rid of talent just to bring back somebody that badmouth the company constantly. No wonder people are turning off WWE and going to AEW. Listen, as I said last week, her being brought in has got nothing to do with anybody getting released. Don't be ridiculous. WWE are like that. It'd be nice to bring somebody in, but fuck man, we're out of money. We'll need to cut somebody. Last in, first out. Don't worry about that. Nothing to do with that. Me, DC, wants to bury the endless telling tales of misery and wrestling on Dark Side of the Ring. Oh, that's a bad one for Dark Side of the Ring, Grado.
The endless telling tales of misery and Dark Side of the Ring. Well, I don't know, because it's called Dark Side of the Ring. I get his point. It is depressing. However, there was good bits that came out of that, especially the Brian Pillman one. It's a horrible story, but the story that his wee boy is now wrestling and following, you know, the right footsteps that his father took. And then there was the wee auntie who was Brian Pillman's sister, and she's overlooked over on internet now. She's got a fucking t-shirt and pro wrestling tees. There was a nice story that came out of that. I don't know how nice it's going to be when Nick Gage is winning this week, but I see where he's coming from, but I love it. I love all that dark shit.
However, MDC wants to put over anybody who eventually puts together a bright side of the ring that celebrates the genuinely funny, inspiring, and ultimately positive side of wrestling. Would you watch that, Grado?
Well, what do we see? Bright side of wrestling? No. That's shite.
You wouldn't watch something about the positive side of wrestling?
Aye. Well, you wouldn't watch something about Booker T?
You wouldn't watch something that was about a joyful story about the time, like, for example, the end of the WrestleMania, where the two best mates, Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, both... Oh, hold on. Strike that. Billy wants to put over the RuPaul's Drag Race. He says his bird goat is into it. This is Billy, right? I want to put a fucking mad RuPaul's Drag Race, man. My bird goat me into it and now I'm binging it. I was wondering, boys, what would your drag queen names be? What would they be?
I like the likes of there's a guy on my Facebook that does drag and he calls herself, he calls his drag names like Patty O'Doors. I like that. Something like that.
Good. Mine would be Florence Nightingale.
Ah, that's easy. Mine should be Stephanie. No, that's my bird's name. It's a bit awkward. Stephanie. Steve. Gridina.
Gridina.
Gridina. Well, Gridina. Oh, Gridina.
What would yours be?
Gridina.
Gradine.
I've always liked the name Champus. Champus Divine. So Gradius Divine. There's mine.
Gradius Divine. Beautiful. Billy wants to put Barry at AEW, however, for pretty much confirming Orange Cassidy is the number one contender, meaning his match with Pac will have zero heat. And he wants to put Cesaro because he's just brilliant right now. I hope he gets a holiday belt this Sunday at the pay-per-view, but I know better than to get any hopes up. Do we think Cesaro is going to beat Roman Reigns?
No.
Hey, Seth Rollins is going to get involved, right?
No, more chances to one of the Usos. Like, Jimmy's come back in now, so there's more chance of Jimmy, because this whole thing with Jimmy and Jay and Roman going on.
Yeah, that's the dynamic, isn't it? Giza Gobbledygookers wants to put old Drew's new book being released. Loves a good wrestling book. Looking forward to this one. Hoping for a good number of Scottish wrestling stories. Well, there's a lot of Grado stuff in it, isn't there, Grado?
Grado in the Drew McIntyre book. Have I told you what it says in the Drew book?
Aye, you have.
Right.
You're barely in it.
What was it? Even Grado, who was a big babyface at the time, he was booed. There's your link.
Apparently, you're mentioned more than once, by the way. Apparently, the bibliography's fucked up. It's only got you down once, but you're mentioned a lot more often in the book than is in the back.
Wait a minute, have you not read it, Grado?
No, I went to the end and just looked up G and then fucking went to it. That's what it said.
Why have you not... One of your mates became the WWE champion and released a book. Why would you
listen,
read
mate,
that?
Come on. Look at the books I've got up there, mate. I've got fucking... I've not read a fucking line in any of these books. I've not read a book since, I'd say, 2014 on the night shift, Andy Gorham's.
Right, so you read Andy Gorham's book, but you wouldn't read your mate's book?
I'll get round to it. See, you're making me... I'm painting it to be a horrible person, this podcast tonight, man.
Breaking news, by the way, breaking news. Drew has been confirmed as the face of WWE 22K.
Has he? Wow. Yes. Right, let me put this out to the world. Grado, oh, can you get Drew to sort me and you both out with free copies of the game?
Aye.
Since he's on the cover, we should get free signed copies off him, right?
Aye. Right.
There we go.
Take some more.
See if we can get a signed one to give away. See if we can get a signed one to give away as a gift on the show as well.
It's a great idea. You're right into this tonight.
Who, me?
I didn't think you'd be asked tonight.
Mate, I'm full of beans. Or
you're
time,
full of...
Stephen says he wants to put her Grado going to be a dad. Full of that, what the showbiz. I mean, treated like a fucking champion all day, man. They go, what do you want for breakfast, Mr. Florence?
Mr. Florence.
Robert, what do you want for breakfast? What do you want? Do you want a wee umbrella? Do you want a wee cup of tea and all that? It's the best, man. Being treated like a king, man. I felt like Randy Orton today. I did. I was saying that to everybody. You've got me feeling like Randy Orton today. I was saying. They were all like, I could hear them going, who's Randy Orton? To each other. Stephen wants to put, are you going to be a dad? It means you can do the midnight feeds and actually watch some live wrestling for a change.
Well, do you know you were talking a little bit about the old wrestling, like how we can't watch it? Pierre John sitting up there. John watches fucking every hour. Every
I mean, look at him.
I'm
fucking half asleep.
Yeah, man, he's stuck
in. Look at
the
stadium.
Listen, I've done one radio show and this is my second podcast of the day. So, Grado, I can't. You've done the same. So, We've done a graft today.
A working man.
I feel vulnerable. It's
good to be a working man.
No, had anyone with an umbrella hand as breakfast and all that either.
Stephen wants to bury the Macho Man documentary on Biography. What an utter disgrace. They buried him as a paranoid drug addict and letting Gorgeous George tell that story about him having hidden cameras in our house and being a creepy voyeur was so disrespectful. Poor, poor stuff.
Oh, come on. Right, come on, son. Get with it, come on. I
want to close this section by putting over the fact that Davey Blaze is also about to become...
Is this true?
A father. Absolutely is true.
He's a big fucking ribber. That was the first thought that came to my mind was he's at it. And then I go into the station this morning and one of the boys who's a wrestling fan went, is David Blaze ribbing? I was like, it's funny. I need to actually message him. By the way, this...
message him the new.
Right.
Message him right now because I've went congratulations and all that. Proud to announce I'm going to be a daddy. And I went, congratulations, like, ah, cheers, mate, and all that. There's no way. It's a rib.
I love Davey, man. Right, the last message that he texted me in July last year. Grado, mate, is wrestling daft finishing?
Why did they say that?
I don't know.
I'm just checking his latest Instagram. His latest Instagram's nothing mad about being a father. It's actually just dogs are honestly one of the most amazing animals on this planet.
I love him so much, man. I love him so much.
But that's so.
We can get him on next week. You can talk about it.
Well, let's find out the truth behind it, right? Let's get him on and we'll have a daddy chat next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you some tips, boys, right? All you need to do is come to Rab Florence and he'll sort you out. I'll give you some tips. It's the part of the show now where we invite you, the listeners, today are running. Come on the show, talk some wrestling, ask us a question. This week, we introduce the man they call Omar.
I wonder if this is Omar Ano that's from Mexico and he's a policeman now. No joke.
Omar.
Hey.
How you doing, Omar?
I'm good, boys. This is surreal.
Welcome to the show, big man.
It's nice to be here, I will say.
Welcome to the show, chief. What's happening?
Not much. I've just eaten a prawn Rogan Josh. Well, I'm halfway through.
Yes, man. So, hey, I need to be honest. I don't usually have prawns in a curry.
Right. Can I cut you off already?
Come on.
So I've got May's Kitchen tattooed on my back. It's my favourite Chinese takeaway.
Right, of course.
It's got the phone number underneath it. Anyway, major development in this. They've actually changed their name to The Spicy Walk.
What?
They've changed their name to The Spicy. So this... You know, I'm like, what did I do here? Did I get a cover up? What's the crap?
Did not console you about this?
No, I went down to get some answers. And I went in there, and you know, the last time I went into May's Kitchen, when I got the tattoo, I was a bit nervous about going back to May's Kitchen because I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit awkward. I've got a tattoo.
Right.
Takeaway. You know, that way I didn't want to, I avoided it for months because I got the tattoo. However, eventually I went in and I was given it the kind of, and they didn't have the idea, you know, that way. I'm like, oh, it's me, you know what I mean? So I showed them the tattoo, and I'm thinking, oh man, it's gotta be really embarrassing if they offer me free food because it looks like I'm asking for free food, you know, that way. But you know what? They gave me fucking a bottle of Tango, that's what they gave me. And I'm thinking, I gave you my body as advertising space, you paid me a Tango, which I wasn't complaining about, but it did tickle me. The reason why I'm talking about it is, this Spicy Walk is the bomb. It is the bomb, and they have released a new curry called the Malaysian Curry, and it's got prawns in it. And it is officially the fucking bit. I've had it twice.
They've released a new curry called the Malaysian Curry.
Well, you don't get that when you're here, rabbits.
Sweet. I've been waiting for Malaysia to finally hop on the curry train. I'm glad they've joined in.
So there you go. And that's just wanted to say that prawns in a curry. Oh my god! Did you make it yourself?
I did. It's from a jar from Aldi, but their jars are banging. But it's because I try not to eat meat during the week. But then I watched that conspiracy.
Oh, I know what you're going to say, conspiracy.
It's fucked me. Because I can't eat anything. I was like, I'll stick to the prawns, but they're the worst.
Mate, I stuck to that for about 2 weeks. I went on my radio show and went, I give up seafood. I went, those poor salmons, those poor haddocks, whatever the cruelty. And then again, it's like, you know, 2 weeks later, I totally forgot.
Fresh supper.
Yeah.
Fresh supper. I'm not
watching it. I've heard people say that. I've said, oh, I've seen that. I'm just not going to watch it.
Just don't. Honestly, you'll feel better. You'll be fine without.
So tell us about your wrestling life, Omar. Right. What are you into? How did you get into it? How did you get into wrestling?
Mine was, so I was watching my old man when I was younger. He used to watch And he used to always go on about how it was fake, but it just didn't matter to me. He's like, oh man, it's fake, it's bullshit. But I was like, it's fine, I love it. But he used to record it. He'd never actually buy any of these like videos, but we'd have fucking cases of these videos just labeled of what they were. But I remember Royal Rumble 95. I was only actually like 2 when it happened. So I probably don't actually remember watching it live, but that's the first one I remember. Shawn Michaels with the skin in the cat and the over the top rope, then coming back to beat British Bulldog. Because he pulled me, because I started supporting British Bulldog because he's English, and then, well, he's British. And then at the end, Shawn Michaels swerve, actually, I hated him so much that I kind of loved him for it. And then I stuck. I was a Shawn Michaels boy from then on.
So you've always loved Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, forever and always. Listen, he's my man.
He's handsome, isn't he? He's really handsome.
I heard you talking about that last week. I've seen that clip, and yes.
He's unbelievably handsome.
He's a bit of a fall from grace, I will say, but he is a handsome boy.
Well, I mean, have we ever properly got to the bottom of what happened to Shawn Michaels' eye?
Yes, he talked about it in that Bret and Shawn documentary, you know, where they just sat across each other, like bitching at each other.
Yeah.
He said, I think he was wrestling Kane, and it was like a clothesline or something stupid, and it just popped his eye. And
wow, that's scary.
It was just messed up, yeah.
Jeez,
apparently, it's something really small.
I don't know. Where do you make his hair these days? Like, I don't want to slag the boy.
I mean, I think he's off in a hat, I will say.
I think he still looks great. He still looks good.
But do you not think, like, it's like, I remember Scotty Too Hotty turned up in Aberdeen with a baldy. And Marty Jones, all British wrestlers backstage, and he was giving it. You've killed your gimmick. You're fucking cheating your fans.
I was gonna say,
you're cheating your fucking fans. Hotty, that's you killed your gimmick. And it was, do you know that way? Sometimes when a wrestler does get a cut their hair or whatever, it's not the same. I don't know. It's weird how wrestling fans, like, I'd take that to heart. Like,
did he still wear the hat with a hole in there?
No.
Been going through it. No.
No.
Oh, that's deep.
I must say it was good. I mean, I wrestled him, but it would have been better if he had spiky hair. You know that way. It's like Vader wrestling in his trackies. It's like, come on.
So what you into just knew, Omar?
I'll be honest. I'm like you lot, where it feels like half of my wrestling life is just watching wrestling documentaries and not really bothering with the actual wrestling. But I keep up with AEW and NXT to an extent. I'm a pay-per-view boy, basically. That's about it.
Right.
Yeah. When you're a grown man, right? When you're a grown man, the pay-per-views are about as much as you can regularly handle.
Yeah, 20 hours of this shit every week, and it's hard to keep track, but. Like New Japan. I like New Japan, but I'll keep track for like the G1 and Wrestle Kingdom, and that's it, really.
Right.
And
then I'm an adult, right? This is essentially it. I'm a grown man, an adult. I'm in my 40s. I can't be fucking looking at the way these fucking assholes are dressed in NXT. Can't be doing it. I can't be spending. I can't be going like, that's my wains. No, daddy has to watch the way these assholes are cutting about, dressed with their fucking hats and stupid sunglasses on. And NXT.
Who are you referring to?
Well, who's I'm referring to Oidham. I'm referring to Oidham, really. I'm referring to the way they all cut about. You know, actually, I put out a tweet today, right? And then I deleted the tweet, but it was a Kyle O'Reilly tweet. I put out just him. He was standing in the ring with a hat on and a pair of glasses and like a denim jacket and a stupid t-shirt and a fucking. And I tweeted, what's happened to wrestlers? I said, with a picture of him. And then I felt bad and deleted it because I was like, I'm no, but why? I mean, what the fuck, man? They're cutting about like guys that are just cutting about a tea in the park. I can't look at this.
What do you feel about Walter? Because he's probably my favorite wrestler at the moment. Now, I think he balances that line of looking like a scary monster, but then you see him next to like Braun Strowman or like Roman Reigns, and he does not look so good.
No. It worries me to say this, right? I'm going to finally say what my problem with Walter is, right? And it worries me to say it because I feel like if I ever met him in real life, he would just obliterate me. He would just punch my head right off my shoulders, right? However, he's the weirdest big guy I've ever seen in wrestling, right? Because he both looks like a big guy that would absolutely kill you, and he looks like your wee brother. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
He looks like your daft wee brother that would be just kind of skulking about the house going, I'm just going into the fridge for some snacks. If we get any juice.
You know what I mean? He does nothing.
I just don't think he's menacing really looking.
I think he's menacing looking. Aye, I was very.
He's good though. I like watching him. I like watching him smashing all these skinny wee boys about. I would
if
watch
they
him
weren't all skinny and small. I feel like Walter's appeal would be lost. So I think there's something to be said for some of them being.
Well, absolutely. If Walter was to step into like kind of golden age, like WWE, WWF, he would just look like, you know, they'd be like, why have they brought their way in to work with him today?
But the world that we live in now, it was like, who's the boy that got injured on Raw?
Humberto Carrillo.
I can't say anything right, but I was just looking going, wow, that guy would never get on TV 15 years ago. It was just an observation. And so when you've got somebody like Walter who actually does legit look a bit different and he looks big and he's massive, he might not have the best body, but neither did Samoa Joe, do you know what I mean? It just it's fucking, trust me, he's intimidating. See when he's wearing a pair of flip-flops, fucking rolling rollies. Going, hey,
what's my rollies?
Fucking skate. Well, whatever he was smoking, he's an intimidating big man. You know what I mean? There was something happened between me and him. I don't know what it was. It was either I don't know if I had said something to his pal or whatever. And I remember just being, I need to get away from this guy because he's going to punch my fucking face in. You know that way? I think I was slagging the promoter, and the promoter was like his best mate, and he'd heard about it. And he was kind of trying to tell, you know, stick up for the promoter, and I was just like, aye, you're right, man, aye.
I bet he's lovely, though, really.
Oh, yeah, I bet he's a lovely big boy. Mm. What do you think of AEW, Omar?
I do rate it a lot. It's funny because I sort of agree with you on quite a lot of things sometimes, but I disagree with others. I feel like there's too much of the multi-man tag, like just flips
factions
and suicide dive shit. Yeah, the spot. It's just, you know it when you see it, but it's desensitizing. But I think the main events and the feuds and these stories have actually been top. I think they're doing well as far as building people, definitely.
They've had some real, I was thinking about it this week, and they've had some real high points for a promotion they've not been around for that long, and they've actually got a reasonable amount of high points already.
Well, do you know what? I don't know whether it's an age thing, but I watched something today where Darby Allin jumps off the ladder and goes and lands in his Kazarian moves at the road, and his legs go through the ladders, and I'm watching that going, God, you know, 20 years ago I'd be oiled that going brilliant, but I don't know, I see that stuff now and I just wince. I'm like, that looks sear. You know that way, I hope his ankle's strapped. So it's a kind of thing about, you know, it's maybe a generational thing.
I think Darby Allin definitely takes it to the limit, definitely.
Aye.
He's got charisma though, right? He's got charisma for days, Darby Allin.
For sure. Yeah,
like that phrase.
That's another
for
one
days.
Though.
What do you mean you don't like that phrase,
you know,
for days?
I thought it was, do you know what? I thought for days was just a kind of new Twitter thing, like for days. But it's actually no, because when I was also watching old stuff the other day, Buff Bagwell come out and went, abs for days. And I went, that's been about for the 90s. I thought that was just a kind of, you know,
way before then. It was YOLO. Talk about YOLO. Women having legs for days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jerry Lloyd say that about Stacey Keebler, but I remember.
Legs for days, that's right. Legs for days. How do you feel about the Young Bucks, Omar?
I rate the Young Bucks a lot, but as the more I see them, the less I do rate them, to be honest. I feel like, I remember I went to see them live for, I think it was Fight Club Pro, them and Kenny Omega teamed up, and I thought they were the best act in wrestling. Like them live, I thought they were amazing. But again, it desensitizes you when you watch them week in, week out. I feel like before, when they weren't on telly every week, I could really enjoy it a little bit more, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Desensitized is my word of the week.
Do you feel, Omar, like I feel sometimes that I would much prefer the shows if I was just watching the wrestlers smashing jobbers?
Yes, and there I tell you what, I do miss, because as a kid, again, you used to tune in and you'd watch, you know, someone getting absolutely battered by whoever they're trying to push, and even like back to like Scott Hall or Razor Ramon sort of destroying a jobber every other week on Raw. And then when you do have that like 1-2-3 kid moment once in a million years, it's the best.
Aye. And yeah, mate, you're bang on. Yeah. You're absolutely bang on.
You've got to set the expectations, haven't you?
Yeah, I've always said this, but I always said if I ever promoted a show, and I did, and I never done this, but I always think that the best way to start a show, never mind it, I think a squash match starting a show, I think that's always gets everybody going. Big guy comes out, wee guy comes out, or maybe the other way about. Boom, 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 boom. The crowd's up. Oh, he smashed him. And then we get into...
Listen, I remember when I was a wee guy, right, and I'd watched WWF Superstars, right? And when the big boss man came down to fight some jobber, the minute he walked in, I was like, the boss man's going to smash this guy. And then I'd watch it, and then the boss man did smash that guy, and then he left, and I was perfectly happy. I wasn't, you know what I mean? I wasn't interested in watching, like, I don't know, see a 25-minute long, you know what I mean, back and forth match between two of the superstars. I'm quite happy to watch, right, here comes Hulk Hogan doing to smash this wee jobber, you know what I mean?
And also you get a kick out. I just typed in because I know it's been brought up before, but the likes of, and the names as well. Remember the names that you would get for fucking jobbers? The Mulkeys, you know what I mean?
The
random names, fucking Pete Patterson and all this kind of, I love going back and seeing all that, the shitey names.
And you just don't get that now.
I think as well, like you said, like you don't necessarily want to see that 20-minute match. And I think we all want to see that, but we want to see it built to. And building to it with 20-minute half-ass matches every week, I think, doesn't do anyone any favours. And then when you actually get to the pay-per-view, you feel like you've seen it fucking 30 times or whatever. I think AEW is doing a good job of that, though. They're not doing the same thing that WWE do.
I'm just
what name have you found?
Porkchop Cash. Kenny Sodbuster J. Jake the Milkman Milliman. I fucking love all this shit.
You know, Chuck Taylor's got like a whole list of these.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, fucking amazing. Hardwood Rich Mahogany is my favourite.
Well, listen, Omar, thanks so much for jumping on. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. You need to come on again sometime,
mate, I know,
because that was a good chat.
Come on again, mate. You're cool.
Right. I appreciate thanks a lot, it, man. Right. Speak soon.
Take care, Omar, my man. Take care.
In a bit, lads. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody. Bye. And if you want to be on the running, best bet is to sign up to our Patreon, as our World Heavyweight Champs get first dibs, IC Champs get second, and Cruiserweight Champions get third. Get on patreon.com/wrestlingdaft and get involved. We're a fantastic community. We love you. We love you very much.
Come on board. Join the gang. Are we getting bigger? Are our ratings getting bigger?
Of course they're no.
Woo! Well, there's loads more content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Listen, there's bonus episodes up there. Grado's WrestleMania Memories, and we've got a new one on the way in the next couple of weeks with Rab. The best way to get involved is sign up to one of our tiers at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, because there's hundreds of extra content up there, including a Greg Hempel outtake from our sister podcast, Fit by Daft. We spoke about wrestling for 5 minutes. It couldn't fit in the Fit by Daft podcast, so we've stuck it up on the patrons. It's really good. It talks about Jeff Jarrett and Lionheart. So if you fancy that and becoming one of our patrons, sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, as we'd love to welcome you to the roster.
You just made the list!
We love lists. That's why every week we do this feature on Wrestling Daft, where we do wee lists. I do a list, you do a list, what do a list? You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This week we asked our patrons what they would like us to talk about, and the vote was between John Cena's greatest moments, after it was announced he's going to be coming back to WWE in the next couple of weeks, which is exciting. I'm sure he's going to be promoting Suicide Squad. Then there was Jonathan's suggestion of what wrestler would get Mace nips at the dancing. And of course, the winner was which wrestler would get Mace nips at the dancing. So it's like the top three best looking wrestlers out there, right? So here we go. I'm going to do it. Number three has to be, he's fell out of the rankings a wee bit, obviously, over the years, a wee bit, but in his youth and all of that, number three, Shawn Michaels. Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. They don't call him the Heartbreak Kid for nothing. He near broke my heart last week when I saw that video footage. I'm talking about Alan Shearer. I have never been so emotionally and romantically moved by a man talking about Alan Shearer in my life. It was beautiful, wasn't he, Grado?
He was absolutely stunning. The best I've ever seen the way he looked. Do you know what? It's funny because I've been thinking about the JR clip as well. I thought JR was the best I've ever seen him look as well. There was something weird about that. He'd shaved and stuff. Anyway.
Number two for me is going to be... See, this is really, really difficult for me. I'll explain. I'm going to go on number two. He's from AEW. He's in AEW. He was in NWA before AEW, and it is Ricky Starks.
I know who you're going to say is number one.
I think Ricky Starks is a great looking young man. I think he's going to be a star. I've got him tipped to be a star, Ricky Stark. And I just think, what do you think of him, John? I know you think Adam Cole is the best line guy.
No, I mean, before you do your number one, I hope I don't want to put a spoiler, but Roman Reigns is a good looking boy, yeah.
Well, I've got a tie as number one. It's the first time I've ever done this.
Oh.
It's the first time I've ever had a tie as number one. My number three is the Heartbreak Kid. My number two is Ricky Starks. And the number one best looking wrestler, the wrestler who get the mace nips at the dancing, is a tie between Roman Reigns and Randy Orton.
Oh.
Yep.
I've got Randy Orton up there as well. I mean, Roman Reigns is just... I mean, imagine you looked like Roman Reigns. Imagine you got up in the morning and you went... Imagine you, John, got up in the morning, went to Clyde to do the George Bowie show and walked into that office past all the guys and lassies that are all sitting there on their wee desks and you looked like Roman Reigns. Exactly like Roman Reigns.
It would be amazing.
How would that feel, John? How would it feel to walk into George Bowie? Because you know George Bowie does the tanning and he goes to the gym and all that. How would it feel to walk into George Bowie and look down at him inside Roman Reigns' body?
It would be. Imagine being in Roman Reigns' body and just like do not. That fuck came out wrong. But like, imagine like you're a guy that looked like Roman Reigns and like you served on at the Co, like on the checkouts at the Co, or you know what I mean? Like,
you're clearly getting a comment after the one, you know.
Absolutely. If you just like look like him and what's an everyday job? You know,
you wouldn't though. You wouldn't if you looked like Roman Reigns. You wouldn't be in an everyday.
Nah, you wouldn't.
Somebody would look at you and go, "You need to be something like where everybody can see every week." You know what I mean?
Can I say something? Mm-hmm. Did I ever tell yous about the game that I started in TNA that really got me over with everybody?
What was it?
I started asking everybody, right? You've got to shag a male wrestler. Geezer tote free. Now, this started with me, JB, Spud, right? And at first it was like, for fuck's sake. Do you know that game went on for about 4 days and it was the most hilarious fucking game? And it was funny, right? Because we were all kind of seeing the same guys, like we're going... You know, you have to shag this guy. Who you picking top three? And it was like the same ones I'm giving it. Hector Garza, I'd say Mr. Spectacular. He's gorgeous. And I'd say maybe, who was another one? Like Robbie E was like quite a popular one. And it was hilarious. I mean, the most serious of wrestlers answered this question, right? We made them do it. But the fucking best one, right? Because we were to get... It was all the same ones, you know what I mean? Maybe like EC3 and Robbie E. And anyway, it was all the same ones, right? And I remember moving up to Abyss. And I'm like, right, Abyss, you've got to fucking shag three guys in this locker room. Who are you shagging? And straight away he went, Josh Matthews.
Like
fucking Josh Matthews.
I think he thought about it before as well.
Well, like, it was so good. And he was so scared seeing it. Josh Matthews. like, what the fuck did he get Josh Matthews, man? It's like, we were all saying things like, and some folk were putting a funny spin on it, like, oh, you would let fucking... In fact, I'm getting this wrong. It wasn't who you'd fuck, it was who you would let fuck you, right? So people were kind of saying, like... a best man, because he would just cuddle you and take care of you and all that kind of thing. But I'm just Josh Matthews. It's a fucking mess.
Yeah, very funny. Listen, I have to say though, that's my top three, but there has to be an honorary mention here, and I didn't want to put it in because I knew you guys would rib me and all that, and you'd be like, oh, Rob fancies Nick Aldis.
Nick Aldis.
Nick Aldis has to get an honorary mention. I just kept him off. Because I know he's a married man and all that. I just didn't want to make him feel awkward. That was why I kind of took him off the list. But you know, he knows how I feel about him. So let's see what the punters are saying. Louise says, Jack Jester. Now, hold on.
That is a thing you forget about. My big sister is always going on about how good Jester looks.
Now, hold on a minute. I know Jack Jester. And Louise has got Jack Jester on her list. So, we'll see. We'll see, right? Louise also said The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, and EC3.
Yeah, EC3's handsome, I used to think.
EC3's no for me, man. That's not the kind of look.
He's got too muscly for me, man.
That's not the look I'd be into. There's too... Yeah,
he was Hackett when he had the curly hair as Derek Bateman, but see when he got it cut it short for EC3, man, he was looking good.
John says Viscera because he's just a love machine. Mm-hmm. Craig says Bobby Ball before his career in comedy. Paul says definitely Kevin Nash.
I didn't even think
about Big Sexy.
He's a stunning old guy, isn't he?
He's a good looking older man. Mm-hmm. And he was, listen, he was good at the locks and all that when he was. Mm-hmm. Sam says Wardlow all day. Mm-hmm. Sean Innes says The Rock. Need to say more. Willie says Jungle Boy's a strapping young lad. I assume he's getting all the attention, the dancing for the lassies.
So is what you call the British boy that are fucking terrible with names, man. Like I was in WOS with him. He's a handsome wee guy.
No.
What would you call him?
Kip Sabian.
Yeah. Chrissy likes Big Miro.
Too manly.
Handsome Rusev. Ian says Pillman Jr. to get the best mullet.
He's a nice looking guy. I picked that up.
And Andy says, could see young Scots superstar Jason Reed getting his ass pinched with some horny middle-aged woman on their second hen do at the Tower Ballroom in Blackpool. Very specific.
Handsome red-headed fella.
Thomas says, it depends on the nightclub who would get the most nips at the dancing. He says, Undertaker would would get more people nipping him at the Cat House. Be Shawn Michaels at Archaos. It'd be Kevin Nash at Cushion. Kevin Owens at the Garage. And it'd be Grado at Campus. I love that. And Scott says Angel Garza.
Yep, he is fucking.
Is up at Toon Disco winching everything, big handsome boy. So he is. It's time for another Wrestling Daft road story. We are wrestlers on the way back for a show trying to pop each other using your stories that you send in. So let's get in the car and see what you've sent in this time. Let's see what happens when these two veterans get on the road. Start this car up here. Which drive-thru are we hitting tonight, mate?
Let's try Wendy's.
You know, any Chinese run about your bit there, any good you can recommend?
Spicy wok, Malaysian curry, turbo chow mein.
Wait a minute. What did you say there? Malaysian curry?
It's the end thing. It's new. It's brand new, fresh.
I need to try that. Right, so any stories around you can share with me?
Let me take you back to about 2004. I was 16, fresh out of school, and I landed myself a week in a Monday to Friday job. Weekends, I were all about the drinking, chatting up buds. It's the glory years of all young men, am I right, Rab?
Aye. Well.
So, one Friday night, I'd just been paid, right? So me and my mate had this imagine planned, consisted a munchie box, bottle of Buckfast, a few Bacardi Breezels, FIFA 04 on the Nintendo GameCube, you know what I'm talking about?
GameCube, mate. Whew.
So this night, all gone good, stuffed for the munchie box, half cut and shouting to the telly, like it's a real game we're watching, right? So just then I got a phone call, and it would not only change the night, but it would scar me for many a year to come, Rab. Now another mate in this house, Petty, in the next scheme, he tell us that there was a few tasty birds there.
Alright.
No, I wasn't up for it, mate. Belly full like a bab and bucky. My belly was telling me to stay on the couch, but they twist my arm and off we go down the street. So I get there, upon arrival, it turns out the lassie that lived in the flat was notorious and had been texting me for a wee while. It went a wee bit cold, man, so in we goes, tunes are on the go, everybody's pushed with not a care in the world.
Not a care, mate.
Not a care. So I'm in the kitchen, right, I'm talking to my wee mate. And the lassie comes up and starts asking, why do you not text me anymore? So we shoot the shit for a wee bit, right?
Yeah.
Next thing she asked me to come to her bedroom, and I'm thinking, here we go, we're on to a winner.
Oh, God.
Then she says to my mate, you too. So we both look at each other, mate, we're going, what the fuck? But my mate assures me it's all good, and come on. So, fuck me.
He just read the next
really,
bit.
Man. So,
John, what the fuck are you?
So we all end up in the bed, winching. And getting all touchy feely.
Is this you, Grade, or is this a guy?
This is no me, this is not my story. And so this wee bud gets completely naked and says, we've tagged him. Holy fuck. So a quick rock, paper, scissors later, and he was always winning these. So my mate's up first.
What the fuck, man?
Next thing, she's pissed off and shouting at my mate. Is he was far too gone and he couldn't rise to the occasion, so she invites me for a shot at the title. Now, by this stage, by the combination of too much drink, a munchy bulks, and nerves starting to swirl in my head, which ends up in me spewing oil the bed, which leads to her screaming. Everybody piles into the bedroom to see what's going on, and it was a total brasser. All the lassies pile in to console their pal, covered in sickness, and one shouts, she's going to get her big brother down to do us in. So we get out quick smart. Luckily I was still clothed, but my mate was doing to his big white scants, and his drunken arse couldn't have finished clay, so we walked back to his in the middle of the night. I'm covered in sick. He's staggering along the way with no clays on. To tap it off, we go to his street, and he farts and follows through. With a night. Steve 292. Let's get something straight here.
Right here. Tell them, Gredo.
This, I don't think this is a platform for folk to tell us about getting a hole when they were young.
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Am I being...
No, I think you're right. We are, it's difficult for people to understand this, we are pillars of the community, Gredo, right? You understand what pillars of the community is? Gredo plays golf with fucking Andy Gorham and all that. Right? Gredo is a pillar of the community. Right? I am going to be working with Barbara Rafferty, a legendary Scottish actress this week. We are pillars of the community. We can't be coming on this podcast and reading out your filth.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
It's just no right. It's just no right. You need to dig deeper into your psyche and give us the stories that are really going to tickle us and make us laugh. Because
you don't think this might impress us.
I mean, we are, I know. What's going on here? These days of this kind of laddishness is over. Is Gredo really supposed to stand there on a putting green beside Andy Gorham, beside the Ian Durant of the world, and say, I mean, we hear this. He was wearing these big white pants and he'd done a fart and he followed through. And Gredo, think that's going to impress Ian Durant? I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, the goalie would be disgusting, mate.
If you have a wrestling daft road story, it doesn't have to be in today with wrestling, which, you know, let's be honest, it never is. Just a funny story about your life that will pop us. Drop us a DM on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on the Facebook page. And that story was from who?
Steve292.
Steve292. Thanks, Steve, for your contribution. It's time for us to pick our listener of the week, Gredo.
Steve292.
No, I am going to put it out there that we should give it to the guy who said in the list of wrestling daft that it depends on the nightclub. Undertaker at the Cat House, Shawn Michaels at Archaos, Kevin Nash Cushion. Thomas, you are the listener of the week. I am Knackered Gredo. It's been a great show.
Bust, mate. This reminds me when I used to work in the fire service and I'd day the night shift and tell everybody, like, my fucking, you know that way you tell everybody your secrets and that, and then you wake up the next day and go, fuck, why did I do that?
Aye, exactly. It's been one of these shows, but it's been you know, what have we learned here, Grado? We've learned that even when we're knackered, right? Even when we're all knackered, all 3 years, we have delivered the greatest wrestling podcast that there is on the internet. Even knackered. So last thing I just want to say, make sure to check out friend of the show, Jeff Jarrett's podcast.
Wow.
Get rave reviews here, and I'm going to be catching up this week. So make sure to check out Jeff's podcast. And Grado, up the road now.
It's your sale, right enough.
Up the road, John, up the road. Get to bed, get to bed, John. And we'll see you all next week, down the line. Audio Frontier.